What a glorious day it is. And I want to say thank you to all of you for coming together today as we had a great Thanksgiving celebration at our house. Hopefully you did as well. And we come together today, as I mentioned, this is the last Sunday in the church year. Anybody actually care or knew that? Okay. This actually is the last Sunday of the church year. If you look at the church calendar, and it begins next weekend with a new year. And we've just finished our sermon series on joining Jesus on his mission, which was a great series. I hope you got a lot out of it through the small groups and everything else that we went through in the preaching. But what we want to do is I want to pause today just for a moment. As we close out this year, I thought there's no better way to close out this year than to share some testimonies on what God is doing through the people of our Saviors. Because if anything, that should spur us on in this new year to be about joining Jesus, right? And doing everything that he has called us to do. Because this community desperately needs it, right? And so today, that's what we want to do. So would you join me in prayer first as we begin? Dear gracious Lord, we are so thankful for our Saviors, Lord, and what you have given us this mission to join you in, Lord. This mission to go and help share your love and grace with those who don't know you. And so, Lord, today we just say thank you, Lord, that you have called each one of us, although we're not perfect, Lord, that we are broken in many ways, you have called us to be the people you want us to join you on your mission. And so, Lord, today we pray for our Saviors, and we pray that, Lord, this new year we enter next weekend would be the best year ever at our Saviors. Not because it's something that we enjoy, but, Lord, because more and more people come to know you and are healed. So, Lord, we pray this today, and, Lord, we know that there are churches throughout this valley that are also doing this great mission. And we pray, Lord, that you would just do a great work through them as well. And that, Lord, together, an unbelievable revival would take place. We keep praying that every weekend, Lord, and I will continue to pray that, Lord, until we see it come. So, Lord, we pray this today and say thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. So the text that I started with today, I want to continue with what it says right after this because I think it's important. So I'll read it again from what I started with at the beginning of service from Philippians chapter 2. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind and having the same love and being in full accord and of one mind. Then it goes on. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others, having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. I love those verses, because it really talks about what we are here for, right? What we do here in the sanctuary, what we do in our lives is not done for us, because we count others more, what? Significant than ourselves. And so today we want to sort of celebrate that and say, you know, let's understand what's happening here. And the people that come forward that I'm inviting forward today are just because I've heard their story. It's not because I'm holding them up over anyone else here. You may have stories that are just as important and just as big, but these are just the stories I've heard that I feel like these individuals should come up and share this. So by today, it's not by holding these people up and saying, look, these are the best of the best, although they are great people, okay? But it's saying that this is just a sliver, I hope, of what's happening in all of our lives as well. Does that make sense? So today, what I'd like to do is start with Bob Munger and Cliff Black to come forward as well. So let's welcome them as they come forward. And the great thing is I actually get to sit down today. Isn't that nice? So thank you guys for coming forward. So both of these gentlemen took off this year and went to Peru and joined the team that went to Peru on a mission trip. And I believe, Cliff, this was your first mission trip.
Yes, it was.
And Bob, I know you've been on this was your first one too. So this is two first-timers, and you both roomed together.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. I'm not going to ask you how that went. Exactly. I'm not going to ask you how that went. But I know that the trip changed your life in a number of different ways. And so what I'd sort of ask you to do today is just sort of share with us the impact of that trip and what how you saw God working through it as well. Either one.
Well, I got notes.
Use the mic if you could, too.
Yeah. Are we on? Okay. Yeah. You asked us to share that in relationship to the 5 points.
Especially, if you could, that would be awesome.
That was coming from Joining from Jesus book that we're all working on. So from the 5 points, I started with the first one, which was seeking the kingdom. And I felt that was easy for me because it was just kind of an accumulation of everything that we've been through in the last few years, especially with the emphasis on making disciples. So I thought, you know, so that's playing out in my life, you know. Hearing from Jesus was the next one. And just being open to God's calling and listening to what he is speaking to me was a good one. You know, you hear from Jesus in so many different ways. Cheryl Voigt is amazing, first of all. She's amazing. The fact that she does what she does and how she can do it so well is amazing. But, you know, I think God was speaking through her when he called us to join on this particular mission trip. So we certainly want to hear from Jesus. Talking with people, I think that ties into the above. Talking to people about what they're doing and how God is working in their life. Well, that's exactly what Cheryl's doing, what Allie's doing now, working with missionaries. So doing good, wanting to serve in a way that helps people and gives the ability to share the love of Jesus. You know, I felt like we have the ability and the capacity and the opportunity to do that, and we needed to act on that at that time. And then ministering through prayer. Being in Peru was especially easy for ministering through prayer. Carl, Cheryl's brother, was very clear, and it was almost kind of like one of those aha moments when he had us all gathered around for the first time. He said, you know, the medical supplies that we're bringing, they're just a tool. They're really inconsequential. What we're bringing is the gospel. And we're just using these medical tools, eyeglasses and examinations, to attract the people. But once we got them there, let's share the gospel. So every single person that we ministered to, everyone was prayed for. And we all had translators. But, you know, sometimes you might be shy or apprehensive about praying with someone. Not the case there at all. It was every single, and it just came naturally. So it was just awesome. Telling the people about the love of Jesus was our ultimate goal. We prayed with every person, and I saw Jesus just work in powerful ways. When I was in Peru, as I'm praying with people, there were 3 different people that came to Christ while I was praying with them. So that was, you know, for me, you know, that was just amazing. That was kind of why I wanted to go. I wanted to help make disciples. Yeah. So, yeah, it was definitely life-changing for me.
So it was really, though, a drastic sort of, when you think of a medical mission trip, you think the medicine is sort of a key part of that. But you learn that that's really actually a secondary thing, that the main purpose is sharing the love of Jesus.
Exactly.
Which is a great thing to learn, right?
Yeah, I felt like we were, you know, a group of Christians taking medical supplies to people who needed it. Yeah. And we were, but that wasn't the goal. Right.
Praise God.
You know, we were just people trying to share the gospel using medical supplies as a way to do it.
Right.
And it was an awesome trip.
Praise God.
Time.
How about Bob? How about you?
Well, my experience with it was about the same as Cliff, maybe a little bit more impactful for me at times. I had never been on a mission. I'd thought about it for years, about doing a mission. And at the time in my life, I felt, oh, I can do this, and God's calling me to do it. So we left on the 7th of September, we left here and then flew out of L.A. in an 8-hour flight to Lima, Peru, and then a layover of 8 hours there to go to Tarapoto the next morning. When we arrived in Tarapoto, it was an amazing reception. The host church that was there had balloons and banners and singing and hugging us, and it was amazing to get that feeling, and you were certainly welcomed. So that was an amazing thing for me, the acceptance there. Our first 3 days that we were there, we were in the area of Morales, which is the red light district in Tarapoto. And it was an amazing area. People were just so accepting of us, and we had the opportunity to minister and pray for each one. There wasn't one that we went away from. We saw 1,040 patients in 5 days. Our team was 26, I believe. We had two doctors, a local dentist, several nurses from all over. Three young ladies from Oklahoma were nurses, one from New Zealand, another one from Wisconsin, and just a lot of us that didn't have any medical knowledge, basically. And we were trained in doing eyeglasses and for distance and reading. And that was really an awesome experience. The fourth day, we went to a town, community called Morales. And this was up in Lamas. And this was up in kind of the foothills going up into the Andes, about 3,000 feet elevation. That was an amazing area also. The people were a little bit different there. They were mostly in the Catholic religion, I believe. And we just had great acceptance there. On Thursday that week, we were being brought patients to us. And there was an elderly lady that came, and she was under 5 foot tall, very small. And through my interpreter that I had, her name was Christina. She was the sister of a post pastor. And she said that she had not been able to read her Bible for several years. So this was an exciting time for us to be able to aid her in her walk. And after putting on several test glasses to see how she could read and see, I was able to give her a pair of plus 375, and those are pretty high-powered glasses. Her eyes lit up, and big smile on her face, and then, of course, she started crying, which, of course, triggered me, and I'm a pretty good crier myself. So, anyway, it was an amazing experience. Yeah. I was able to pray with her and for better health and that, but one of the things we had the opportunity during all the time we were there, we had triage nurses that we called them, and they would look at each patient, take their vital signs, and then write things down on a slip of paper, which they would go then to the doctor. Well, I started reading all the paperwork that came across. So everybody that they had arthritis or they had trouble with their shoulders or whatever it was, I really concentrated on praying for healing for those areas, and it was amazing to see how people were so receptive to that. And I came back feeling very blessed by the experience, far more than what we could ever have done for all those people.
So obviously this was a huge, huge trip for both of you. The question I would have sort of to conclude right now is this. And these guys don't know the questions, by the way. But I would ask you this, so what has changed now that you're back?
I think for me, I think the appreciation that I'm looking for opportunities to reach other people.
Okay. Cool.
I would say the same for me. Easier to pray with people. I just went to Texas, and I took an Uber from my hotel to the airport. Pray with my Uber driver.
Awesome.
I got to meet them a little bit and pray with my Uber driver who dropped me off at the airport. And then when we were coming back from the airport, got another Uber driver, another situation. Again, I felt the opportunity and asked them, can I pray for this? They said, sure. So I got to pray with them. So I got to pray with both my Uber drivers. Just a little more stronger in your faith to pray with people.
And seeing those opportunities.
Absolutely.
Sure. Well, praise God. Thank you guys for coming forward today, and I appreciate that. Let's say thank you to these guys.
You want this?
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks. So they mentioned Cheryl Voigt, so I'm going to have Cheryl come forward as well. She just came back from India on another trip. And, you know, it just so happens that these two are sort of tied together a little bit. But I wanted Cheryl, because last Tuesday night in our small group Bible study, she shared a story with Cheryl and I that I thought was something you guys needed to hear. So, Cheryl, why don't you tell us about the gentleman you met over in India and how that affected you?
Okay. Excuse me. When I'm a team leader, and I think Cliff and Bob will testify to this a little bit, I tend to get hyper-focused tunnel vision on the task at hand and forget to do what I admonish my team members to do, which is look for where Jesus is working and join him in that work. It was really brought home to me on our second day. We were in a coastal town called Visakhapatnam.
Which we'll all say afterwards.
Yeah, so say that three times fast. And it was just about time to break for lunch. And the translator from the pharmacy area came and said, excuse me, ma'am, there's a man here who would like prayer. And, you know, I'm focused and like, And then I thought, wait a minute, isn't that what we're here for? To pray for people. And so I went and spoke with the man a little bit, and being mindful of the, I guess let's call it a gender gap in India, I went to find one of the guys on the team to come with me to pray. So I got Stephen Games to come with me, and we met with the man, and he said to me, I heard there was some healing prayer here, available here, and I've walked 200 kilometers to take advantage of that. Now I see you're having a medical camp, but I don't want anything that you've got at the medical camp. I just want healing prayer. I have hepatitis C, and I have prostate gland problems, and I'm getting treatment, but I really want healing prayer. He said that several times. I asked him if he was a believer, and he said he was. So Stephen and I prayed with him, and some of you have heard me talk about my Holy Spirit rush. I get chills, you know, head to toe when I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. And while we were praying for this man, I was just overcome by my Holy Spirit rush. And I really felt that the Lord's going to heal this man. I almost wish I could go back next year so I could find him and find out that, you know, confirm that God healed him. And, you know, and the Lord just led me to pray for him that when he visits his doctor the next time, his doctor will be amazed that he's healed. And I prayed for this man to have the courage to share with his doctor who healed him. Yeah. So.
Praise God. Yeah, what's amazing about the story, though, I think, is the fact that, yeah, you get so caught up in what you're doing, right? And God sort of tugged on you and said, no, you got to pay attention to this.
Exactly. Sadly, I didn't get a picture of the man. But I, you know, that I was just floating for the rest of the day. After that, it's caused me to be even more aware and looking for those situations.
Does that transfer back here to home?
Yes, it does. I'm more aware of and looking for situations where God is present and he's asking me to join him, whether that's praying for someone, having them share with me, or a lot of times God puts people in my path that have similar experiences to mm-hmm. my own, and I'm able to share with them, you know, how I'm coping with it, and that the only way I cope with it is through faith in Jesus.
Praise God. So thank you. Let's say thanks to Cheryl. You know, mission trips are meant to do exactly that, right? They're meant to immerse us somewhere where we get a different experience. We can see how God works, but then that it doesn't end when we get back here. That's why it's so important for us to continue to do these trips. What I'd like to do at this time is move back to right here at home, and I invite Carrie Allen to come forward. She's got some stories about what's happened just since we started our book, Joining Jesus on His Mission, and I'd love her to share sort of some of the ideas and things that she's been doing lately as well. So let's welcome Carrie as well. So Carrie, you mentioned to me just, I think it was 2 weeks ago, about how suddenly something's changed in your practice. Why don't you share with us what that is?
Well, I think first I wanted to say a little bit about what I've been doing so you understand this is really a change for me. Before I came to Our Saviors, I actually had been the lay leader at the Methodist Church in Palm Springs. I've also was for the Southern California Methodist Conference, I was a lay speaker, which meant that I was called to give a lot of talks and several times actually did the preaching when the ministers were not done. In the Methodist Church, the lay leader actually steps in when the pastors are not available. So I'm used to sharing God. And also, and for the last, now it would be 13 years, I've been the lead chaplain at Desert Regional Medical Center on Tuesdays. So sharing God and talking about the love of Jesus was not difficult for me. It was nothing new to me. But I want to have the people that are in my share group, our small group, please stand up. Please stand up. Don't be shy. Thank you. Why I want them to stand up is because I really want to thank you, my group, because you moved me. You made me go out of that comfort zone, because I'm very comfortable in sharing church, of course, and my friends, and especially for the patients who have requested for my services and spiritual services. We normally do not go to patients that have not requested. We ask them if they want to. But being the lead chaplain means I handle emergency and ICU and a lot of end-of-life situations. So that means that I have been requested. So easy to serve when you have been requested. What I've decided to do was to look at where in my daily life I have not been serving when I had the opportunity. So I decided to be very venturous and step out of my safety zone. Most of you that know me, that my safety zone is pretty big. So I really had to think, okay, let's get out of what we do every day. What I'm doing now is I find out from my patients if they're Christians and they're believers. If they are believers, I offer them, before I leave, if I may end the visit with a prayer. It has been absolutely awesome. It has been absolutely awesome. There were people that have not been to a church, or they usually say, oh, you can't really count me in. Well, were you baptized? Yes. Well, then you are a Christian. The Lord has already accepted you. So there are some instances I know that would change their lives. And it's really amazing that it's the first time somebody prayed for them, the tears and the emotions. Now, I'm going to ask all of you to do me a favor. I have just admitted a patient. I'm a physical therapist, for those of you that don't know, and I'm case manager for Desert Home Health Service. I just admitted a patient to our service, and her name is Barbara. She knows she's asking me to share this. She has been bedbound in hospitals for 15 months. So we're gonna need a lot of God's intervention on this case, and she is so happy. She's Presbyterian, that she said that nobody has prayed for her that she remembers in all this 15 months. So we can do something of this type. The other thing I'm doing now is that when I wander around wherever, market or wherever, I try to say something positive to somebody, whether it be the boss girl that's got a new sweater on or... Now, I will tell you, when you start doing this, God seems to open the way. And you look at life differently. You may say, what is she talking about? Well, I'm going to give you a good example of what that means. Last Sunday after church, we bumped into Ali and Cliff at the Ralph's, of course, and
Of course, Ralph's, yes.
Of course. And we were talking to one of the new managers, and he says to me, he knows me rather well, and he says, you know, I just don't get this thing with Cliff. He's always happy, happy, happy. And I just thought, this is perfect. And I said, listen, I'll tell you what to do. Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, we're up the street, you know, right on the corner. Just go right up the street, and we're there. Come and join us. You'll understand why he's happy, happy, happy.
Yeah, praise God. Praise God.
Now, and I will tell you, when you start doing that, you may be surprised. You walk out, like I walked out of that store, and I said, oh, my goodness. I mean, that was planned. God planned that. I mean, he said, why is he happy, happy, happy? Well, I'll tell you why he's happy, happy, happy. It's one of us.
Yeah, exactly.
So I encourage you to step out of your safety zone and not just be nice to people that you know very well, but actually you'd be surprised what God's going to do for you. And God needs every one of us. And praise the Lord that he really does want us to join on Jesus' mission.
Yes, thanks, Carrie. So, so thank you. So, I mean, I think it's a pretty simple formula you just gave us, right? Be nice and say something nice to everyone you can, right? That opens doors. And then secondly, you said just asking people if you could pray for them, which, by the way, was something we concentrated on last week in the message. A simple prayer for people can open the door for God to do amazing things. And you've seen it in your practice. And praise God for that. And you didn't do that before, you said. A little bit, but not really.
Well, you know, the federal government has, and yeah. The city of Palm Springs, for that matters, has put on some holds on being very careful. And those of us Christian chaplains at the hospital have actually, some Christian chaplains been sanctified because they were told that they were doing things they shouldn't be doing.
Yep.
One good example, very simple, and as lead chaplain, I have to warn all my Christian chaplains to come in, or any other faithful, that matter, that we cannot, we have to be very careful. One of my chaplains was a baby rocker. She went up to the neonatal unit and held the babies that need to be held. You know, babies that are, especially if they're early and they're small, they have other problems, they need more rocking and holding by a human being. We know they do better because of that. Right, Doc?
Right.
So I know that somebody was just humming to a baby, a Christian hymn. And unfortunately, or I don't know, I mean, it was meant to be, I guess, the lead nurse that day happened to be a Muslim. And so that's what caused the whole, I mean, I had to sit down with her and we had to work with her and she's back working, but that's how careful we have to be. So we always ask permission. But what I am finding is that so many of my patients are Christians, but the Christians are no longer practicing.
Right.
But somehow they've lost it. And they think they're not practicing, especially the Catholics. They think, I haven't been practicing. That means I'm no good. I'm a real sinner. I haven't gone to confession. And I try to tell them that God and you have a relationship. It has nothing to do with who you confess to. And that God still loves you, whether you forgot God.
Yeah.
But so it's kind of nice to open the door.
And opening the door is as simple as just saying, may I pray for you?
Yes.
And once they give you permission, then the door is open. And so we shouldn't be holding back and afraid to ask that first question, which is, can I pray for you?
Yes.
Person can always say no, but you know what? Let's give them the opportunity to say no or yes, and then us follow through on that. So thank you, Carrie, for coming forward, okay? Blessings to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I'd like to get Chris and Lisa Meyer to come forward as well at this time. Let's welcome them forward. Now, Chris is known in the prison as the, what, serial hugger? Is that right? Serial hugger? So, yes. And most of us probably would say we know that here, too, right? But I think they have a great story from their lives that says a lot about what God can do. But I know Chris also with Kairos Ministry and just how I've spent time with you out in the community and how you just are open to, yeah, shake my foot, go ahead. So yeah, and how we just, how it just seems like you're contagious to just talk with people. So why don't you just share a little bit about that for us?
Okay, praise God. So there's a pen in front of all of you, right? Right in front of your pews. And I'm not going to read it, but Romans 5, 1 to 11. So you can all jot that down. Romans 5, 1 to 11 talks about Jesus came to save who? The righteous? Oh. No. Who did he come to save? No. The sinners. And that was me. That is me. But he's made me righteous through his blood, through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. So I didn't know that, our Savior's church. I was Dr. David Duffner's son for 38 years. I was a functioning alcoholic and an absentee father, absentee husband, and my wife, Lisa Meyer, had been coming to church here with my boys for all these years, and I was running from God. And so as it says in Romans 5:1-11, at the appointed time, God will come into your life. And for me, it was Lisa saying, Chris, you want to go to church with the boys and I? How did that happen?
I knew you needed it. I was raised in the church, and I knew my boys needed it. So I would go home and leave the message notes on the table for him. And one day I just was like, you want to go with us? And the kids were like, come on, Dad, let's go. And that was it. That's when God got his heart.
It took many years of prayer, though, too, right?
It took many years of prayer. My mom, myself, many friends, the church. Yeah, a lot of prayer. So don't ever stop praying. When I say pray without ceasing, don't ever stop praying. God works miracles. It's his time, though. And
you never know when it's going to happen.
You never know when it's going to happen, no.
So I was sitting right over here where the gentleman in the yellow shirt is. Oh, that's Jerry. Jerry, raise your hand. Jerry, raise your hand. I was sitting right there, and it was the first church service, and Pastor Mike was up here, and he talked about grace and mercy and love and forgiveness and repentance through the blood on the cross. And I thought he was talking to me directly, you know. Because
I was.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
So
he was.
He was.
He was,
yes, thank you very much. I guess he was. Yeah. And so God came into my life that very first day. Jesus came into my heart and penetrated that, he filled that hole I had. You know, the world saw this cool, hip Chris Meyer who was putting on this great show. I was so empty inside. I was so lonely, and the world had a hold of me, and I never knew the love and saving grace of Jesus. So to transfer that into Kairos, can I go into that?
Definitely.
Okay, so... the men in the prisons, I'm part of Kairos Prison Ministry, and at Kairos Prison Ministry, we go up to Ironwood State Prison. It's about an hour and a half from here, and once a month, the third Tuesday of every month, we go in there, the group of us men, and then twice a year in April, March or April, and then again in November, we go in for 4 days, and for those 4 days, through a series of talks and small group discussions, we share, what do we share with them?
Jesus.
Jesus. The good news. The men inside that prison, most of the men we serve are lifers. They've done really bad things. No different than me. Absolutely, in God's eyes, they were who I was. And they think that what they've done as what I had thought, church, I thought I was unlovable. I thought that my sin removed me from the love of God. But God was there the whole time. He was loving me and waiting for me, and that's what we share with these men. So I would share on the fourth day of the 4 days that we go in there, we have a graduation. These men, through these series of talks and small group discussions, have heard about Christians praying for them, and they've heard about the churches and agape love, unconditional love. And so they've heard all that, but on that Sunday, unbeknownst to these men, many of whom haven't had contact or visitation for years and years and years and years, are going out to the visitation room, and they think they're going to go and take pictures with us, us 24 men, and say goodbye to us and have a little ceremony. But what they don't know is that we fill the auditorium, the visitation room, with Christians from various churches, and as they walk down this hallway, we call them candidates, and they walk into this visitation room. The men and women are standing up, clapping. So if you've been to a graduation of Kairos, could you stand right now? If you've been out to Ironwood State Prison and done that, can we have a little round of applause for the Jesus people here? So it's that love that they see. Then the love comes over them, and it floods them, and they're washed in that love. What do you think about the graduations? My wife's kind of in charge of the bus.
I'm in charge of the bus. It's a big job.
It is.
It's life-changing. You go in there, and these men have been softened by the 4 days of knowing that they're still loved by Jesus. He never left them. God's never left them. We don't ask them what they've done. Some of them will share, and it's a little shocking. But some of them haven't had people for 18 years. I haven't had any contact with anybody for 18 years outside the prison. So it's, you know, there's that line. It's not black and white, but God loves them, just like he loves us. And their sin is no different than ours. It's all the same at the bottom of the cross there. So it's life-changing. It really is. And I encourage you, if it's something that God's tugging on your heart, that that you should do. Just one time.
I gave Mike, where's Mike at? Raise your hand, Mike. I gave Mike an application to go into the prison. You have to get a clearance. Clearance is good for one full year, so you can go into two graduations. And if Mike wants to, he can join us on the third Tuesday of the month and go on in and share the love of Christ.
People ask me, aren't you scared? And I'm like, no, it's a win-win. If I go in and something happens, I go to heaven. If I come home and I can continue to share God's love. You know,
yeah. Not my time. And that's yet. The way we should live our lives each and every day. Because we know where we're going and we know what's secure for us. And so we shouldn't be afraid. In fact, we should be bold about what God is asking us to do, which is what you guys do. And Chris, you live this out every day, not just in Kairos Ministry, but the transformation that God has made in your life has empowered you, I think somewhat like me, to go and share the gospel with people. Because you know how important it is and you know what it's like not to know Jesus.
Oh, praise God. Yep, thank you for that. Yeah. I would share that part of the boldness and the Holy Spirit ignition that I have in my body, that's the Holy Spirit. Anything I do, any good you see from me, any happiness and love and hugs and openness, I will for sure, please, it's all Jesus. Because that's not how I was or who I was. So how I've gotten here is all praise to God. Yep. Now, on Monday mornings, I need groups of men. I need fellowship. I need Christians to rap with and hang out with. And so on Monday mornings, right over here, gentlemen, from 7 a.m., yes, it's early, till 8 a.m., every Monday morning, I've been doing it for 5 years, it's Christians in Commerce, CIC. We have about 16 or 17. Frank, are you back there? Frank's part of it. Mike, are you in here? He's a man there, he is. And we go in there and we sing a couple songs and we fellowship. You know, we hear a little talk. We get into small groups and share our lives. And it really helps embolden us and give us that fervor that Jesus really wants. So, and there's also Kairos Brothers in there. I got three or four men in there that first shared with me. You know, what's changed in me, Pastor Rob, is that I've become an intentional man. Yes. Before Christ, I was waffling through this world looking for the next basketball game or football game or beer or something to fill me. But now God is, I'm his hands and we're his feet. And so we need to intentionally find out what it is that we're touched to be. What are our gifts and our weaknesses? How can we bring glory to our Father? And it's a pretty cool search. So I just praise God. Hey, where's Carrie? Carrie. So one thing Lisa and I do when it comes to praying for people, we pray for all of our waiters and waitresses. Yep. So we were at, where were we yesterday?
Someplace in Phoenix.
So we were in Phoenix yesterday with my brother, and we had a waitress named Rebecca. And Rebecca was, thank you for my wife. See, and so Rebecca was, it was a busy place. It was Friday after Thanksgiving. She was looking a little haggard. And she was giving us our food, and I said, Rebecca, we're about to pray right now before our meal and give and thank our Father for our blessings. How can we pray for you? I used to ask, may I pray? I say, how can we pray for you? What did she say?
She needed rest.
She needed rest. I said, praise God, we're going to pray for that. So we incorporate our waiters and waitresses.
Praise God.
Can I tell a quick funny story? So we were in Phoenix this weekend with his brother and his family, and we have a difference in our theology. So these guys got into a little tiff Friday night. And they're notorious for, somebody's notorious for getting hurt when we get together. So I was already in bed. He comes to bed. He goes, we had a bad experience. I'm like, oh, what happened? Who got hurt? He goes, no. He goes, he said I wasn't humble. I'm like, what? And he's like, he said I wasn't humble. I'm like, we'll just pray for him. Don't worry. It's okay, honey. So the next day we get up and we're going for this walk. And before I left, I'm going through Chris's closet because his shirts are bigger than mine. So I grab this T-shirt out of the closet. And so we're getting ready for our hike. And I'm like, I'm going to wear this T-shirt. So we go downstairs. They hug. They kiss. They're okay. They're fine now. And so the funny thing is my shirt said, humble warrior. Is God good?
Yeah,
I mean, that was just like the exclamation on it. It was so good.
God at work, right? Yep. God at work.
And I would share, as I tell most of my friends that know me well, you know, the word meek, loving, grace-filled, humble, doesn't mean weak. Right. You can be a loving right. Christian, yet be bold and passionate
and
have fervor. And doesn't
strong.
Meek mean controlled?
No. Even Jesus turned tables.
Oh, is that right?
Right?
Yep. Well, I want to turn tables with love and grace and that. And so I... if anything, I'm just so darn thankful that Jesus saved my sorry butt, because I'll tell you, it's a wonderful thing.
Praise God. Jesus, thank you. So guys, hopefully you found this to be beneficial. You know, it's important for us, and especially when you listen to Chris, and you've heard it from my life as well, not knowing Jesus is not a good thing. It's a very place where you have a hole in your heart and it can't be filled by anything, even though you try to fill it. And, you know, I praise God that through my life, through Cheryl's family, I was able to come to believe in Jesus, you know, at the age of 23. A few years after that, my sister was baptized. A few years after that, my brother was baptized, my twin brother. And at 77 years old, my mom was in the hospital. She was baptized. See, we don't know how God's going to work. We don't know how long it's going to take for God to work. Our job is not to convince people as a used car salesman for God. Our job is to join him in his mission, however he's calling us to do so, and look for opportunities just to share his word. And stories you've heard today are just a few of those stories. I know there's many more out here by you guys as well on what's happening in your lives. And as we go through the next year, we will share more of these stories. And I invite you to send me emails telling me the stories that are happening in your life so that we can capture them and use them as well. But today, we just say praise God. And would you join me as we pray for these individuals? Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing among us here today. And what you've done through this year. And Lord, we thank you for all the individuals here at Our Saviors. Lord, we pray that you would continue to let us see how you are working in and around our lives. And that, Lord, everywhere we go, no matter what we do, we look for ways to join you, Lord, in the work that you are doing. And Lord, we pray that as we do so, that more and more people would come to know who you are, Lord. That you truly are the Savior of the world. And so, Lord, we thank you for the stories that have been shared. We thank you for the individuals who have shared them. And, Lord, we ask that you would just allow us, Lord, to see the fruit of what is happening in this world. Let us be bold. Let us be confident in who we are. And let us share the love of Jesus each and every day. Lord, we know that our mission here is living the love of Jesus. And, Lord, we ask that we do that each and every day. So, Lord, we pray this in Jesus' glorious name. Amen. We have two closing songs as we go into today, and as we do so, I invite you to come forward and spend some time in prayer at the rail here. Maybe it's, you know, you've been doubting and you want to come forward and truly say, Lord, I truly believe in who you are. Or maybe it's just things you want to say thank you to the Lord for what he's been doing in your life this year. And maybe it's just you want to come forward and just lift the burden that you have to him as well. But we invite you to come forward, especially as we sing this next song, which is entitled, Everything is Sacred. Remember, we are little Jesuses in this world, and our whole life is sacred.
Teach me that it all belongs, that everything is sacred. I eat the bread and drink the wine, but help me love my neighbor and show me how to hold this life, 'cause I don't
heaven is upside down.
Well, the offering, I guess, was not taken, so there's baskets in the narthex. As you leave today, please, please remember to place your offerings there if you could. But would you please cup your hands in front of you and receive the blessing of the Lord.